KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning. Today, we get to talk about students and spring break, but we're not talking about the whole week-long parties for college students in Fort Lauderdale or Cancun or some other location where students go for that spring break party atmosphere. Instead, we're going to talk about how some Fresno State students are giving up the majority of their spring break to serve others through the alternative spring break program. With me today are Melissa Jessen-Heiser, the Assistant Director for the Jan and Bud Richter Center, Shauna Blair, Program and Event Coordinator for Student Involvement at Fresno State, Fresno State Alternative Spring Break Student Leader Marissa Gutierrez, and the Director of Stone Soup Fresno, a local community benefit organization, Mr. Lowell Enns. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Melissa, you really helped spearhead the development of Fresno State's ASB program, or Alternative Spring Break. I'd love to get a little background from you. Back in 2008, 2009, I know you did a lot of research at the time into these Alternative Spring Break programs at other campuses. Can you explain a little about what alternative spring breaks are, and are they pretty common at colleges and universities across the country?
Sure. Alternative spring break is just kind of what you described in your introduction. It's an alternative option for students in lieu of more traditional spring break activities like going on a trip, even staying home watching Netflix nowadays.
Yeah.
I know that's what I like to do in my breaks.
Watching, yeah.
So instead of that, students engage in service to the community. It is pretty common in other universities and colleges around the country, but what makes Fresno State's program unique is that our service stays local, whereas typically these projects include travel to another state, another country even sometimes, whereas at Fresno State, our students stay here and work with our local community. And the feedback we've been getting from the students over the years is that they really appreciate that opportunity to learn more about a specific segment of the community. For some of our students who live outside of Fresno and are commuting in or are from another area, it gives them a chance to really connect with a local community benefit organization and kind of set some roots here in Fresno.
Yeah, and certainly plenty of need here in the area and opportunities for students to do really valuable service. So you did this research and you looked at all these programs and got things rolling here at Fresno State, but you didn't run these programs on your own at Fresno State. I know you quickly reached out to Shauna and got her and her students involved. Can you talk about that partnership and how it developed?
Yeah, so it was actually pretty fortuitous. I remember Shauna came into our office one day to talk about she had seen something on TV that was similar to a program like this, and I had already been talking to you about it. And so it worked out really well that we both had this interest at the same time. What makes the partnership between our two offices really unique is that it's a partnership between Student Affairs, which is Shauna's department is under Student Affairs, and then in the Richter Center, under Academic Affairs. And so Shauna and her group were able to provide the expertise in student development and reaching out to our students. Whereas in our office, we had the piece of connecting with our community partners and incorporating reflection into our spring breaks.
Okay. And that idea of reflection, talk about that just a little bit.
So it's a way for students to make meaning of their service experience. So at the end of each service day, our team leaders, who we'll hear from some more later, I'm sure, they lead reflection activities where the students get to talk about what they've done, the impact they think it's going to make, things they're learning like in the process of it, and even have some chance to make some changes like the next day. They also engage in some pre-flexion activities, which is just pre-reflection, so ahead of the event, and then also after the event as well.
So they're serving not just with their hands and feet, but serving with their hearts and their minds, and you're engaging them in reflection to help them do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Shauna, maybe you can first tell us a little about your job with student involvement and how ASB fits into your work there.
Of course. I'm the Program and Event Coordinator for Student Involvement, and I work with various leadership programs within our office. Many of them are great student leaders just wanting to make a difference, make a connection to their campus. So when we met many years ago to start the pilot program, we selected some students from the Richter Center and then some of our student leaders from our office who could really help us in developing the program. They were excited and wanting to be a part of the program and help develop a new spring break program. And along with that, we were able to get from these students great feedback that really helped us develop it for the years coming on. And so ASB just fits into my life because I really enjoy service and volunteering, really wanted to make an impact with our campus. And then once we all connected, Melissa and I and you yourself and your department, it was great to create this alternative spring break program that has now been around for going on next year 10 years and just what we've made happen over the years.
So that pilot program, that first year, obviously you guys learned a lot of lessons and you built into some things, as you mentioned. Can you talk about that a little bit more? I mean, that must have been a big learning curve for you that first year or two. What was it that helped make this program such a fixture at Fresno State?
I think a lot of it was just really the students that participated that year, definitely understanding that we wanted to create a program and them really saying, this is what would have been better. This is what was great. From that first year, we learned that we really needed to transport the teams together so we could get there on time and get service done. They really bonded a lot better as a team, felt more connected to each other by the transportation. We learned that it was better for us to do one site for 4 days and also to make that 4 days hopefully at the beginning of the week so they could still have a little bit of a spring break and go enjoy some time with their families. As well as when we did multiple days our pilot year, we did each day was a different site and they didn't feel as connected to the site. So with us doing 4 days at one site, they felt like really when they reflected, they were getting more of a connection. They were feeling like they had more impact on the site as well. Melissa, maybe you have something else?
Yeah, I think as Shauna mentioned, the feedback from the students in the pilot year was instrumental in kind of getting to the model we have now, which is where we recruit student leaders to identify the community partner, do fundraising, and reach out to local businesses to provide in-kind support. They recruit the students. They plan the project in partnership with the community partner. And so I think one of the things that works really well with that model is that our team leaders really get to develop a close partnership kind of on behalf of the university with a community partner.
So you talk about this student leadership piece, and obviously we've got a great student leader here with us in the community partnership piece. Are those things that you would traditionally find in other alternative spring break programs in other campuses?
I think so. I do remember when we were looking at different models, there were a lot that included student leadership.
But that's certainly something that's really near and dear for both of you in your work.
Yeah.
So our community partner and our student leader, Marissa, let's turn to you for a minute, if you don't mind. Before you talk about Alternative Spring Break and your experience there, I'd love to give the listeners a little idea about who you are. So, you know, maybe talk a little about where you're from and what are you studying in school and when you plan on graduating and that kind of thing.
Well, I'm from Madera, born and raised. I'm studying English education right now, and I'm going to be graduating next fall, so fall 2017, and plans to go into the multiple subject credential program to be a teacher.
So you're a Valley girl, graduated at Madera High?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Madera High School.
Okay. So just one more semester. Did it seem like it was ever going to happen, and it's getting awful close now?
Oh, if you ask my mom, probably not. But it's now that it's here, it's kind of like, whoa, where did the time go?
Yeah. All of us parents are always wondering, what are you doing? Why aren't you graduating yet? Because you're doing good things like Alternative Spring Break, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm not mistaken, this is not your first year in Alternative Spring Break, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
You were involved last year for the first time. In what role and where were you at?
So last year I was a team member with a project that actually went to Stone Soup as well. And we held this STEM camp with science, technology, engineering, and math. And so I was able to facilitate experiments with a group of students that we had there. And then we also helped them build some planner boxes that were placed in their playground to have there on site.
Okay. So STEM, this acronym STEM comes up a lot. So as you mentioned, science, technology, engineering, and math. Big push in that area as a future educator. You probably hear that a lot. What is so important about STEM education?
I think with STEM, it can seem kind of scary to kids. It can seem like this big, like, you know, capital S science that maybe isn't something that they feel like can really do. And so our goal with that project was just to get them in there doing hands-on projects and to really take ownership of those projects so that when they go back to their classroom and they start talking about these things in an academic sense, they have that connection. They can be like, oh, yeah, that's that thing I did at STEM camp. And it helps them to be more confident and to really spark the interest and pursue it.
Yeah, and they realize that studying science isn't just about memorizing the periodic table in chemistry or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So this year you had a different role with ASB. You were a student leader. Where'd you do your service this year? And what was different in your role as a student leader?
So this year we also were at Stone Soup. And part of the reason why I, as a student leader, I selected that organization was because I had worked there the previous year, and the amount of positive feedback that we had gotten. At the end of that camp, we had had so many parents coming up to us and asking us if we were coming back, if we were doing anything in the summer. And I really wanted to be able to say, yeah, of course we are. But at that point in time, I couldn't. So then when I decided to apply to be a student leader, that was kind of my motivation, was to be able to go back to Stone Soup.
Okay. So there was a little selfishness in being willing to be a student leader, huh?
A little.
A little bit. So as a student leader, what are your main responsibilities?
I think my main responsibility is the connection with the community partner, staying in contact with them and finding out what their needs are and how we can best serve those needs. And then also reaching out to local businesses to get the donations for supplies and for meals and all of that sort of thing, and kind of staying on top of that.
And you talk about working with that team. Was there a lot of work around recruiting and training and everything else for the team members?
Yeah. The entire, I think, beginning of the spring semester was just recruiting, like tabling, talking to people, sharing on social media, just trying to get as many people to know about the program as possible so we could have a lot of applicants.
Okay. And then how many people were on your team this year?
My team had 7. My team had 7.
It's hard to remember now, right? It was a whole 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Well, it seems like there were so many of us. And then when you count it wasn't really that many, but I think the impact we had.
Do you remember the total number involved in Alternate Spring Break this year?
I believe it was 23 total.
Yeah, 23. Looking at Shauna and Melissa to make sure. 23, all right. So next, I want to turn to Lowell a little bit, because we've talked about this 3-prong partnership between the university, the student leaders, and community partner representatives. And Lowell is a great community partner of the university. Lowell, can you start off by telling us a little about Stone Soup and who you are?
Thanks, Chris. So Stone Soup Fresno was a nonprofit that was created by Kathy Garabed back in about 1996 to serve the Southeast Asian refugees that were coming from Cambodia, from Thailand, from Laos, and arriving in this El Dorado Park neighborhood here near the university. We did a lot of programs, immediate services in those years of education support, medical programs, ESL classes, citizenship and immigration help, supporting seniors in different areas. A lot of work with kids. Over the years, we've really focused a lot on education, and so that's continued to be a huge part of who we are. We continue now, 20 years later, working in the community, still serving the Southeast Asian American community in various ways, mostly around early childhood education, but also in advocacy for K-12 children and their families, and then also a lot around cultural preservation, especially for our Hmong and Lao community.
Don't want them to lose that culture. I think when the immigrant communities come here, in many cases, it's about assimilation, which is obviously extremely important, but it's also about remembering who they are as a culture. I know the first generation folks, it's a little hard sometimes.
So we're seeing a lot of individuals coming back to Stone Soup now. Many of our student interns that come back to us, even from Fresno State, had some of their beginnings actually at Stone Soup. We've had folks that came to us in 5th grade and were part of an after-school program. We have parents now that are coming back and had services provided to their families when they lived in El Dorado Park, and now they're coming and bringing their young children to our program. So it's this continued programming that still continues to reinforce that identity.
And the name Stone Soup comes from a fable or a childhood story. Can you talk about that a little bit? I think it helps people understand what Stone Soup is all about.
I think that's a really important part of who we are. I think it really is an example of why we do what we do. Our founder, Kathy, she really saw that imagery to be really, really important to explain that from this folktale, this fable, and that's actually in multiple cultures of individuals coming into a community, starting out a soup with a couple stones and everybody bringing something to the table, to the pot, and creating something very rich and powerful out of everybody bringing one thing and adding it into that soup pot. And so we've seen that at Stone Soup over the years, people bringing their gifts and talents to Stone Soup. And I think this Alternative Spring Break program was a great example of that effort.
Yeah, a little extra ingredient into the soup. So speaking of Alternative Spring Break, what was in it for Stone Soup and the people you served? Why is that something that you've embraced the last couple of years?
A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to talk to some of our partners in the community and found that in many cases, in after-school programs and even summer school programs, many of our Southeast Asian American families are not taking advantage of those programs, those mainstream programs. And so the question came to us is, could we develop something for maybe elementary school children, maybe a STEM camp of some sort, that would impact those kids. And because of being Stone Soup, because of the trust and the history that we have within the community, could we leverage that a bit to get children to come to a program? So we were looking for a venue or an outlet of how to do that. And Alternative Spring Break actually came through the door.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, you did the STEM camp for the first time, as Marissa was talking about. Obviously, must have been a pretty successful first experience, huh?
It was a great experience. I just remember, I think we had 21 children sign up. And I remember we had a sixth grader who his sister was actually working here at Fresno State in the recruitment office, I think. She was from Central Unified School District from that area. And she said, hey, I want to get my brother into this program. And she said he was struggling a bit in school, but she thought he would enjoy it. And he was a leader, but he pushed our buttons in some cases.
Sixth graders like to do that,
right? Sixth graders do that. You know, we gave everybody a T-shirt. She said he didn't take that T-shirt off for the following 3 days after the program ended. He wore it for 3 days straight. He loved the program. And I think that really said a lot to me. Parents were saying that their children were asking. I had a parent the other day say that for the entire year afterwards, the kids were asking, when STEM camp starting up again?
That's great. So, Marissa, did you see some familiar faces between the first year and the second year? And remember some of the kids?
Yeah, we did see a lot of familiar faces, which was really cool to see them, a year later, see how they had grown and see the memories that they had and what they brought into the camp. And then it was also nice to see we had a fair amount of new faces as well.
And if they're coming back for an event like this, it must be important to them. You know, it's hard to get kids up on a spring break weekday, and they had to be there, what, 8:30, 9 o'clock?
Yeah, about 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, and then you had them all day studying science, technology, engineering, and math. And so obviously their response, as Lowell talked about, must have been pretty favorable, huh?
Yeah, because I remember from last year that the first day was kind of quiet, kind of a little uncomfortable because the kids kind of had this mindset of, oh, mom and dad are making me be here. Mom and dad are making me spend my break at science camp. And this year, we didn't have that problem at all from day one. I think just the energy from the kids who had been there the previous year was infectious. And there was just really great energy and a lot of excitement all the way through.
So Lowell, back to you for a minute. So this year, the group comes back and you had them doing a STEM camp again, but they were working on some other projects too. Is that right?
So like I mentioned earlier, we're always trying to leverage the volunteers that we come through the door. And so actually the ASB team offered to do an additional project in the afternoons. They were there in the mornings during the STEM camp. In the afternoons, they helped us out with a project that we are partnering with the Fresno Metropolitan Flood Control District to add in a community rain garden alongside our preschool. So we were building some raised planter beds, about 17 raised planter beds, and putting in an irrigation system with that. And the ASB students worked that week was pretty warm, and they were out there in the sun on that south-facing side of the building working in the afternoon, putting in an irrigation system, some raised planter beds.
And what's going to go in those planter beds now, or is it already planted?
So the idea is to develop a multi-generational program that will bring grandparents from our preschool families to be integrated into our preschool program, bringing them in to help do some gardening along that side of the building, maybe raising some ethnically appropriate plants and vegetables and things for the children in the preschool and in our other early childhood programs.
Great. So it's going to come back and serve the kids that are involved in your preschool. I think that preschool piece, I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit. In addition to the services to the community there in El Dorado Park and to the Southeast Asian community, one of the facets of what you do is you offer a community preschool, right?
This last year in July, we were able to open a state-funded early childhood program, including a preschool. The preschool serves children 3 and 4 years old. It's subsidized, so there's a sliding scale, but for the most part, most families actually don't pay anything for full day preschool, full year. It's a great, great program, getting children ready for kindergarten.
So if you're listening and you've got a preschooler and need a preschool for your kids, check out Stone Soup Fresno, right?
Yeah. We're enrolling now.
Yeah. So back to the ASB program, and in particular, working with the student leaders. So obviously, they put a lot of time, but you have to invest a lot of time. What's it like working on a project like this?
I told somebody the other day that being the executive director of Stone Soup, there's always these daily responsibilities you have. And I've kind of given myself spring break off the last 2 years, in part because I really do enjoy working with Fresno State students, our interns, other folks that volunteer with us. And this is kind of the highlight of that opportunity. it gives me an opportunity to engage with a unique, specific group of students. They're there all week. They're accomplishing a great goal, which is a, you know, it's a collaboration with something that's really close to my heart, is getting this information and getting this excitement around STEM to the kids that we serve. They really help facilitate that.
Mm-hmm.
The student leaders, like Marissa, are great. They're committed. They're there every day. They plan well. Everything was planned out. I don't really have to do very much, which is great. And they bring everything to the table, make sure that everything's there. So really, it's kind of a all-in-one package that they bring to the program. And it actually really enhances what we're trying to accomplish at Stone Soup.
We'll post a whole bunch of really great pictures to the Facebook page that you have all provided, and gives a little idea about the joy in the faces of the kids and the work and the student. And I think for the students, the joy that they got out of being involved and contributing to this. So you're 2 years in now. What about future needs? Do you see something, the need for continuing STEM education programs and alternative break programs like this?
I talked to a parent last week that had had their two children in the program during spring break, and they said, they're already talking about next year. So I think the need is there. We'd love to see it grow. I think we served about 21 or 23 kids this year. It's a great opportunity for college students to interact with elementary school kids. We had a great opportunity this year to have the students over here at Fresno State on the last day. They were able to talk to the Hmong Alumni Association. They came in and talked to the kids about college. So it's getting kids excited about college, even in fourth through sixth grade. These are all really, really great things. We'd love to see it expand, continuing to use Stone Soup maybe as a launching platform, but seeing something bigger in the future.
You mentioned the visit that took place the last day when the children from the STEM camp came over with the student leaders and did a campus tour and had some activities here. I think they went down and they bowled in the bowling alley here at Fresno State. And I've heard many community leaders say that children from these disadvantaged neighborhoods, they think that college is completely unattainable to them. Like, this campus and this place is lined with barbed wire and guard towers to keep them out almost. And I think once you bring those students here, they really get a different idea about, wow, I can do that. That's just down the street from my house.
And I think the dynamic of working with college students throughout that week, that last day, those kids were so comfortable with wherever these ASB students wanted to go, they were going to go with them.
Yeah.
And I think that was that real important piece as well. They felt comfortable with this team.
So Shauna, Marissa, and Lowell talked about Stone Soup, but I know there were other sites this year as well. Can you talk a little about those other student teams and where they were at?
Sure. We had two other service sites going on during the same time. We had River Tree Volunteers, and they had a team of about five students, and they were doing river cleanup along the San Joaquin River. They were on four different areas of the river. Each day was a different area. They also were doing trail cleanup, so sometimes to get down to the river, there needs to be a clear trail. There was a lot of weeding that needed to be done. And even though they only had five people, from what I hear, they were one of the best groups they've had in a long time, and they were very busy and really determined to get a lot done, and they really did. And so really, 4 days, they actually started Saturday while the other team started Monday. And they were hit with the rain, but they didn't let the rain stop them. There was a big storm that day, and they worked right through it on a couple of the days. One day they did end up early because it really got bad with the rain, but they also had most of their work done for the day. So it worked out well.
And River Tree Volunteers, another small local community benefit organization or nonprofit here in Fresno. So
yes, yeah. And they really rely on volunteers. They have a few people that really head up their organization, but they really rely on volunteers to help them go out and clean up the river. I know one day they were able to get into canoes, and they were able to do some actual in-the-water cleanup. But it was a little bit limited this year due to the rain that we've had and the way that the water was flowing. But our students did an amazing job.
And then the third site, what was that?
So our third site was the Discovery Center. It was wonderful to be there. I got to be with that team a little bit this year. And they did site beautification. And one of the great things about that center is they want to be the main museum for people to take their families and take their children. Earlier in the fall, if you would have went out to the site, it wouldn't have been so exciting for you. But they recently had some great fundraising that helped them out. And now it's just very vibrant and exciting. You want to take your kids there. I've been telling people, you got to get your kid over there. And so when our students went, they were able to help complete some of those projects that still needed to be done. We painted a few structures. We painted some benches. And what was great about that was actually we painted those Monday. On Tuesday, they had school buses there full of children who were sitting on those benches learning a lesson about Native Americans and history. And then some of the structures hadn't been painted for a while, and now they fit in with the new look. And then the big exciting piece really for the team was they painted a mural. So literally had to prime it and white wall it and then came up with a design and painted it for 4 days. It took us to get it all done. You know, you have to do little pieces at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really exciting because now we were able to use what they supplied with us. They already had, and we have this beautiful picture that's there for many to see for many years now.
I think Discovery Center is one of those hidden gems also in the community. It was around when I was a kid. I remember what the big draw then was, they had a moon rock. And I think they either had a Mercury or an Apollo reentry capsule there. Is it still there? I don't know. It might be. Not sure.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, people talk about there's no children's museum in Fresno. There's no exploratorium. Yes, there is. It's called the Discovery Center. It's out by the airport. Glad to know your students were out there helping bring that back into its prime.
Yeah, they've
prime,
had a...
So.
They've had a few things happen to them. I remember hearing they had a fire and a few other things. And so it's great to see that they've been able to overcome that. And we were able to help support their new efforts to really let people know that they exist. Because I know we got media attention. All of our groups got media attention, which helped let people know, like, hey, these sites exist. And then just what each site is doing besides what we're doing.
So. Right. So Shauna and Melissa, in the limited time that we have left, obviously there's a lot of cost to these kinds of events. We already talked about the possibility of, you know, certainly Lowell wants you back again. How are these programs supported and what's the future look like?
Our funding is through the University Student Union Board of Directors. They fund us just a little bit. We also have a great partner, Friends for Civic Engagement. And Friends for Civic Engagement is really able to help us on the parts that we're not able to use our funding for. So they've really helped us complete these projects every year. And the funding that we do get, that's going to support a ropes course experience to get our teams to, you know, really quickly become a team. Also transportation, food needs, because we feed all of our participants, t-shirts, supplies. So all those great needs to make the program successful and just get the bare minimum basically taken care of to continue every year.
As Shauna mentioned, we partner with Friends for Civic Engagement, and they've graciously agreed to help us expand the program to include now winter and summer breaks. And so we'll be sending out requests for proposals soon for that for next year. In addition to that, as mentioned earlier, our team leaders do a lot of fundraising with local businesses. So, for example, this year, Chipotle, Panda Express, Deli Delicious all provided lunches for the children who attended the STEM camp as well as our volunteers. So we're always on the lookout for local partners who are interested in supporting programs like this.
Well, we're so grateful to all of the support that's given to those programs. I'd love to talk a lot more about these other programs and these sponsors and whatnot, but our time's up. So I just love the idea of these alternative spring breaks and the fact that the students that participate, they have such a fantastic experience. They leave with something more than a hangover from a week-long party or a tan from Cancun. And I love the fact that our community partners like Stone Soup really benefit from this as well. So thank you all for being involved. That is about it for today. And once again, a big thank you to our guests, Melissa Jessen-Heiser, Shauna Blair, Marissa Gutierrez, and Lowell Inns. And thank you, everyone, for listening this morning. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service and Action Program on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. And please go to that Facebook site. Tell us what you think about Alternative Spring Break and the other service programs that we've talked about here. We'd love to hear from you. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.